Hey everybody, it's that time of the week.
The time when we all get our periods.
What?
Sorry.
Everyone who is listening to the show, stop listening to the show.
Oh my god,
all
I'm sorry.
All of the listener base that we've built up.
They're gone.
They quit.
In one fell swoop.
One fell swoop, everybody.
Wow, I really did it this time, Megan.
Oh god, Maria, we all knew it was coming. We all knew that one day you would say
something. I would say something so... Just.
That would create a rift between us and the rest of the world. Here the day has arrived.
Yeah. What day were you talking about, Megan?
Oh, I was just talking about the day when you listen to the podcast known as Magic the Amateur.
Oh, well, that makes a lot more sense because we're recording it right now.
Exactly.
Okay.
So
I see where you're going.
It's that day of the week where we record it. And for you, it's that day of the week where you're listening to it.
Got it.
Maybe you have a day that you always listen to it. Maybe you have a day you don't have a regular day.
I don't know where I came from. I was over in left field. You were
really
making
were.
Sense.
And I was not a left-handed batter.
No. Did you ever play softball or baseball?
No.
Good. Me either.
And the few people who were left listening to us were softball and baseball players.
And now
they're
gone. They're gone. Okay.
Oh, well.
Oh, boy.
Such is life.
You don't want us to play softball or baseball, though, because we are really... I'm really terrible.
No, we play once a year.
Once a year.
For a company game.
Like a retreat.
Yes, basically. It's Memorial. It's the Memorial Day softball game.
Yep.
And I just remember, especially this last year, I just remember being so sore the next day.
Yeah.
Like, I was so sore.
I'm out of shape. Megan at least does trapeze stuff in a circus. So she has strong trap arms, is what I call them.
Thank you. I have big old trap arms.
Anyway, if you're still listening to the show, hello, one person. This is Magic the Amateuring.
Thanks for sticking with us.
Yep.
Through that intro and through that slam on baseball.
I'm one of your hosts, Maria.
I'm another one of your hosts, Megan.
This is the show where we talk about magic stuff. Do you got it? Okay, good. Now we can move on and say we're doing lots of sweet stuff in this episode.
Yeah, we are. Maria, tell us the list of sweet stuff we're doing.
Well, number one, Megan's going to tell us where the Fountain of Youth is located. Thing number two we're going to talk about, we've got a mailbag question from a listener. Thing number three, we're going to talk about... Battle for Zendikar. We've had some spoilers.
Oh, yes.
Thing number four, Megan's going to give us our secret recipe for her awesome brownies. Thing number five, we're going to, what are you going to do?
We're going to do some Robo Rosewater readings.
Oh, yes. Thing number six, we're going to talk about Mark Rosewater, actually the real Mark Rosewater State of Design article that he recently published. So,
and then we will talk about his robot alternate universe intelligence.
Yes, it's so
good. Who has a Twitter account that is so great. We've read a few of them on here before.
We have.
So stick around through the end to hear all that and maybe more.
And maybe more. And
or maybe less.
Or maybe less. You know,
never know.
You never know.
You never know. For the noobs, mailbag.
All right, we have a question from a listener. This is from Zachary. Hey there, Megan / Maria. First of all, great. We are one person.
Yes.
I was wondering if you can give any advice for someone who has recently returned to Magic and was looking to get into Magic Online. I know it's a great tool to help improve your skill, but I was wondering if there are things I should learn before dropping the 10 big ones. You didn't write that. I said that. And starting? I have a decent knowledge of the game and the rules and have played Magic Duels Origins, if that helps at all.
Sweet. Nice question, Zachary. To answer it, the first thing that you need to learn is patience. It's great to have a thing like Magic Online because, you know what? Some of us don't have an opportunity to get out to the store as much as we want to. And it's great to be able to play at all random times of the day, squeeze in all those magic playing hours you possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
Really get your magic groove on.
That's
when
right.
It's grooviest for you, man. but that being said, it has lag time issues, it has bugs, so be prepared for that. One of the most important things to know is where to find the reimbursement and bug reporting form.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good thing to point out. You're going to have crashes, you're going to need to be reimbursed for drafts and that sort of thing. It's just straight up going to happen. And it's done through the Planeswalker points website. Yes.
You don't have to find the website. While you're in Magic Online, you can go to the Help tab, and then there's a little in the left menu, there's a reimbursement thing you can click on.
What?
And then that'll take you to the page.
I did not know that was there.
Are you serious?
I'm being 100% serious right now. I have
never Googled the reimbursement page on the Wizards website. I have only ever accessed it through through Magic Online itself.
We all learned something today.
Holy cow.
Wow.
You didn't know that.
That is so much handier.
Yeah. Well, there you go, man.
So number one, patience.
Yes. Number two, you're going to need to know, I guess, one good thing to know would be the different types of events and the different ways to enter those events.
Right. The program, in my humble opinion, is not super intuitive. So you're going to see a tab that says Play Lobby, and that's where you go and play some stuff. Spend some yep. time there. Mess around. Click through everything. Try and familiarize yourself with the interface because it's pretty cluttered and there's a lot of stuff in there. But yep. eventually you'll find what you're looking for.
So you can either, in the Play Lobby, you can choose whether you want to play Constructed or if you want to play Limited. On Magic Online, there's actually Limited tends to fire a lot quicker. There's a lot more Limited playing online. There's a lot of Limited queues. So there's different types of events. There's single elimination events, which are 8-4s. And you can find those. You can find single elimination events in both Constructed and in Limited. Limited, they're going to be drafts.
They're called 8-4s because the winning player gets 8 packs. Oh, God.
Yeah.
And the player in second place gets 4 packs.
But they're switching to play points.
I know.
Soon.
That's what I just realized.
So what are we going to call
what
them?
What are we going to call them?
Well, this information is soon going to be outdated. But it's good to
weird.
Know. So
okay.
Maybe they might just call them single elimination queues.
Yeah.
And Swiss queues.
And pack per win is what it used to be.
Exactly.
What they just switched to.
And especially if you're, pack per win is what they now call Swiss.
Mm-hmm.
And now that it's not going to be packs anymore, who knows? We recommend, when we both started playing, we didn't play single elimination. We played Swiss.
Yep.
So that you get more play time in. And if you're still learning, it's great. You have, multiple rounds to learn. You don't just, play a round, lose real fast, and then
right.
you're done.
So that's important to note, too, that if you're, able to win a couple matches in your Swiss queue and open maybe a rare here or there, you're going to keep the cost for yourself down on Magic Online. Because Magic Online, it can be a real money sink just like Magic can. Hello, we all know it. We're all addicts here. It's yep. a big happy family. But you can keep your cost down if you're able to, win, a fair number of matches in Swiss and open a little bit of money every now and then. It won't hurt as bad as, say, going to the store and having to put up your own cash every time
yeah.
you enter a draft, which, you don't get the experience of playing in person and smelling the great cards online. But it's, like we mentioned before, it's more convenient and it's easier to keep the price down.
Absolutely. Speaking of cards that you might open, there is also a trade lobby
trading
on Magic Online, which is again not necessarily intuitive, but so again they're changing the system soon, so unfortunately this information that we're giving you is going to become outdated.
We'll just have to do another episode.
Yeah, we recommend also keeping up to date on the announcements, the Magic Online update announcements.
Yeah.
That come out every week or every time that they have updates to Magic Online.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, you can look at those. But also trade is great because if you don't play a lot of Constructed, you can trade rares there for tickets. And then you can use those tickets to either enter events or right now, while it's still a booster system to enter limited events, you can trade tickets for boosters, which is usually it's a little bit cheaper to use the trade lobby. And to buy boosters from different booster bots.
Right.
Which is something that, again, there's different bots in trade that tend to have a pretty good deal on boosters. Hogwarts is a great one. Goat bot is a good one. Drafter's Haven is one that I use sometimes. So if you're looking to buy boosters with tickets, we recommend using bots like that. While there's still a booster system on Magic Online.
What I'm gathering from our conversation so far is that we've said, and I'm thinking back to the first time when we both started using Magic Online.
Yeah.
It's gone through a lot of changes even since then.
It really has.
So it's an evolving, it's a moving target, and it'll continue to evolve, throughout the years. So, you know, settle in for the ride because things are going to change and it's going to be confusing at first. I remember I wanted to do an episode, and I think we might have even actually done one where like they opened up magic and we're like looked at it and just been like, what is this? So I remember my first experience just being like, what? But there are articles online through Daily MTG that kind of walk you through it as well. They're a little outdated, but again, the system is constantly changing. So it's going to be, they'll be useful to you still, as far as I can remember. So, you know, just get ready for that. Overall, I'm very happy that Magic Online exists because it gives me a chance to draft whenever I want. Early Saturday, Sunday mornings, that's what I like to do when I get up. And, you know, you can't beat that. You can't beat that. So despite sometimes the flaws and the things that they're still working through, I think it's a good investment. I think it makes you a better player as well. Because
absolutely,
the play skill level is higher on Magic Online than in LGS.
A lot of the time. Absolutely.
Yep.
And so that being said, so there's also one thing that it took me a long time to understand was also like the...
You can't swear in chat
is one. Two, if you go to your account settings, you can turn off lots of frustrating animations and sounds that you do not need to have. So you can go in there. Your account is also where you can see your ratings. That's going to be in your game history. And you start out at, 1600, right? And I think they say like once you're above like 1700, 1750 is when you want to start looking at doing single elimination events. And then what was I going to say?
Your avatar can be lots of pretty things.
Also the scheduled events. On the homepage, when it opens up, it will have a list of scheduled events, which you can enter for. And if you just remember, like, what time it is. And if you pay your entry to that and it's, like, the next day, because some of the stuff like, the Magic 20 or the Magic Origins limited championship qualifier, you want to play in one of those, and there's one the next day at 4:00, and you're like, yes, I really want to do that. You can pay the entry for that, you're entered, and then you can close Magic Online and you're still entered in that queue. You just want to make sure that, of course, you're logged back in when the time for that event is. So it's those usually have like a little bit different payout structure for those scheduled events. They're a little bit nicer because maybe you know that you want to play in something later on in the day. And you can plan for that in your schedule.
Absolutely. It's a crazy journey and I'm glad you're going on it.
Absolutely. It is like a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
If that roller coaster sometimes didn't function.
It's like a roller coaster if it's a little old and rickety, but it's still your favorite roller coaster.
It's still a great roller coaster.
Sometimes people have died on that roller coaster because I mean, it's, you know, the wood.
It is what it is. It is what it is. Like, it's a little rickety.
But that kind of makes it a little more fun.
Doesn't that add to the charm? It's a charming roller coaster that has sometimes killed people.
I'm, like, trying to think if there's actually roller coasters out there that people have died on that people still ride.
There was one in San Antonio that, like, had to have, like, a couple of accidents. I don't know that anyone died, but, like, someone, like, lost a hand.
Oh, my God.
And then something else. And then it was shut down.
If I had lost my hand on that roller coaster, I'd stand outside that roller coaster with my fucking hook hand and be like, this could happen to you. Turn back now.
Also, I'm really interested that you would go for the hook hand specifically. Like, you
absolutely.
Wouldn't
want to. Mm-hmm. What else am I like going to have?
Like, I don't know. There's other options.
Like what? Like a toilet plunger hand?
Yes.
Like a hand on Mark Hamill in Star Wars? Oh, wait. Those don't exist yet. Oh, maybe
but we're getting close. Close. Yeah, man.
Wait, I take it back. I would have a tiny cat hand.
What? That is so creepy.
I would have a little cat paw.
Just like
just one.
But would it be like human-sized or would it be like a cat-sized?
It would be cat-sized.
This is the creepiest thing I can imagine. It's like a person's wrist just ends and on top of it there's like a cat-sized cat paw. That's messed up. Okay.
The best part would be when I go in for a kiss, I use my cat paw hand to just touch the face.
Touch the person's face.
Yes.
Oh, God. That would be... And what if, like, what if you had managed to keep your hand hidden until then?
I know.
They didn't know?
Then they would have to be into it, because if they're not, then they then they look like a total bigot. Like,
they'd be totally terrible. Yeah,
I'd be like... I'm sorry.
Oh, I was all ready to make out with her, and then I found out she had a cat hand.
It's like, whoa, 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 buddy. Love me for who I am, my cat hand and all.
So make sure you remember the consequences of playing Magic Online. Like, too much of it can lead to you having a cat hand.
You do get some stuff for your $10 when you sign up, by the way.
Yep. You get a booster of the most current set, or the most current core set. So in this case, Magic Origins. And then you will get some new... What are they called? New player points?
New player points, yeah.
Which you can use to enter special, like, just new player only events, which are a nice little introduction.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that we didn't mention was the clock. It is important to know that there is a clock on Magic Online, a timer for each player. And unlike a normal game of Magic, if you run out of time, you just lose.
Chess.
Yes. You just lose. And, at the bottom, the bar at the bottom that has, like, the different phases of the turn, it'll be right above your hand. You can click on the little white arrows and set stops on your opponent's, those phases of your opponent's turn and those phases of your turn. So that's something you might want to toggle around with, like, oh, sometimes I do want to stop during my opponent's upkeep.
Right.
And sometimes I don't. Sometimes I do want to stop during the beginning of combat. Sometimes I don't need to stop during the beginning of combat. So that's something to make sure that you're kind of keeping aware of. And Magic Online is really great for learning phases of a turn.
Absolutely. It made priority. Me so much of a better player with priority in phases of a turn. Exactly. Absolutely.
One, you can't, there's not really shortcutting, like all of the shortcuts that you sometimes get used to in a physical game of Magic, aren't there online. And you get to, it's kind of cool to see it. Like, when there's a stack,
mm-hmm.
things literally go on the stack and they're stacked one above the other. It's a nice visualization for stuff like that.
And if you've only ever played duels and not a lot of in-person Magic, it is going to be a lot more complicated looking than the duels interface. And it won't hold your hand as much as the duels interface does. But use those new player points to your advantage and go play a draft and just allow yourself to maybe train wreck part of it just because you're learning how the system works. And maybe watch, you know, a video or two online about how to use Modo. Modo, that's its nickname, PS. You'll hear people call it that.
Which stands for, nowadays, in official stuff, it's abbreviated MTGO, Magic the Gathering Online. Modo stands for its old name, which was Magic Online with Digital Objects.
Yep.
Just a really streamlined name right there.
Digital
got
Objects.
Got right to the point of what was going on.
Digital Objects.
With Digital Objects.
I feel like that's, you know, like when a female game character is objectified, they're turning her into a digital object. Battle for Zendikar previews.
Aw, snap, man.
Hey, Battle for Zendikar is going to happen, you guys. Whether you like it or not, it's coming up in the fall, and there's going to be a battle on Zendikar.
You should be super excited. We sure are.
Yeah, I sure am.
Last week on the Daily MTG, they had an article that was all about the Clash Pack coming up, the Eldrazi versus Zendikarians. That's not actually what it's called. Don't take my word for that. But it's the dual decks that are coming up. Get my names right. It's the dual decks that
dual
are coming
decks,
up.
Not the clash packs. Okay.
Exactly. It is dual decks, which they had already shown the two cards that were like the header cards for those, which were Avenger of Zendikar and Oblivion Sower.
Mm-hmm.
And then they showed us all of the cards that are going to be in those, which include a couple of brand new Battle for Zendikar cards.
Yes. So there's something very interesting with some of these. Mm-hmm. There's a new mechanic, and it's called Devoid.
Absolutely.
Or is that a keyword? No, fuck.
I don't know. I think... We'll look it up in a second.
Okay. Devoid, this card has no color. So if you don't know, Eldrazi are colorless creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And having devoid on Eldrazi, I think, just re-emphasizes that, in fact, they have no color, because some of these Eldrazi have colored casting costs.
Oh, snap. So you're telling me that they have a colored casting cost, but they don't have a color?
Right.
Because they are devoid of color?
That's exactly what I'm saying, Megan.
Holy smokes, man.
Yeah, so there's a card here, Forerunner of Slaughter. BT Dubs, great name.
Yep.
It costs a black and a red to cast. It's a 3/2. It has devoid. So normally this card would be both black and red. That's how you would determine its color.
It would be a multicolor card.
Yep.
It is not.
But it is not. This creature is devoid.
Oh, snap.
Actually,
or it would be a gold card.
Yeah, devoid sounds really cool.
Yeah, it does.
I really like that. It's very kind of sinister sounding.
It is sinister.
This card also has one, pay one colorless. Target colorless creature gains haste until end of turn. So,
oh, snap. So you're telling me I could play one black, red, and have a hasty 3/2?
You sure could.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah. So you can see why devoid matters, because they're going to play with the mechanic, I believe, of making colorless matter. Is a strange sentence.
As we can already see from the Forerunner.
Right.
Already, it has an ability that can only be used on colorless creatures.
That's going to be, you know, I just have to say that I feel like that's a little confusing for a newer player, but hopefully people will catch on.
That's true. It is a little bit of a loop to throw for newer players. But do you know what? We trust y'all.
We trust y'all. Another interesting card which was spoiled was Dominator Drone, 2 and a black for a 3/2, also devoid, despite the black mana's casting cost. It has the word ingest.
It also has the creepiest art ever.
Yeah, that's pretty creepy art.
It's pretty creepy art.
Ingest.
Ingest.
Whenever this creature deals combat damage to a player, that player exiles the top card of his or her library.
Oh, boy.
So this card is milling your opponent every time
it
does damage.
But it's not putting them into the graveyard.
No.
It's putting them specifically into exile.
Exile.
Which we know could be important with these Eldrazi, because as we've seen with Oblivion Sower, which is a 6-mana 5/8 Eldrazi, and it says Oblivion Sower, when you cast it, target opponent exiles the top 4 cards of his or her library, then you may put any number of land cards that player owns from exile onto the battlefield under your control.
Amrock Cool's coming down.
Aw, snap. So that also means, so if you, say, you ingested several cards with this Dominator Drone.
Don't ingest cards! You're gonna get sick!
Maria, this card is literally telling me to ingest cards.
Megan, you can eat some salad for your fiber.
Whoa.
Are you having a backup problem?
Backage.
I guess technically it is a backage problem.
What? Gross.
Isn't that why people eat fiber?
What?
For the loose poops?
Don't ever say that again.
I'm asking a legitimate medical question.
I don't care. Go ask a doctor. It's not my business.
I thought my whole life, like when people are like, oh, I have to stay regular. Like, that's the horribly PC way of saying it. But like, as a child, like, that doesn't make any sense to me. What does being regular mean?
Yeah.
As opposed to being weird?
Yeah.
You have weird poop? I don't get it. So I think, anyway, somebody tweet us at MTAcast and tell me, is it true that you eat salad for loose poops? Okay.
You mean if you have loose poops, not to get them?
No, I thought it was to get them.
No.
Not diarrhea, but like.
No. It's to
firm up the poop.
Why are we having this conversation on this podcast?
Because every time we have a fight, I need our listeners to solve it, because
Maria,
I don't like to Google.
You eat fiber, or you take fiber so that you are like that, so that your poop is consistent and that it happens
consistently,
like,
soft or hard,
like medium. You don't want either. What do you? I can't believe
I personally want my poop to come out like little gerbil pellets.
I don't think there's anything you can eat to make that happen.
I hope to all our listeners who eat dinner while listening to this show,
we're so
you're
sorry.
Welcome. You're welcome.
Although, as we already know, lots of them listen to this podcast while going to the bathroom.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
That was just some topical talk.
Yeah, this is
for those
you guys.
Of you who listen to our podcast while on the toilet.
Yep, there you go.
So anyways, if you have exiled cards, Dominator Drone, and then you play something like an Oblivion Sower, or perhaps another future Eldrazi that also has some sort of effect that lets you play your opponent's cards from exile, then that will be very relevant.
Yes, I love that. And the Eldrazi are so badass that them exiling things to me seems so flavorful. You know,
yeah.
They're just like tough to deal with. That 5/8, by the way, is a mythic. Cost 6. But I love that. They just seem really evil, you know?
Oh, yeah. They're totes evil, man.
And like them exiling things is like the evilest thing you can do to another player. Megan is recording the sound of my cat licking the cream cheese off her knife. So that's what that was, if you heard that 5 seconds ago.
So we didn't just see these Eldrazi.
No.
Previewed in these dual decks, although the Eldrazi are super cool. And I do love the art. Go, head over to Mythic Spoiler, take a look at them, because they are creepy. And they're all like vaguely... They're not exactly humanoid, though some of them are. They're
very alien.
Seem very skeletal.
I like them.
Or very,
Do you remember Salad Fingers?
Yes.
Do they remind you of Salad Fingers?
Yes.
That was when there was only like 3 viral videos when Salad Fingers was there.
Before YouTube was a thing, really.
Yeah, it was.
There was Salad Fingers. Oh my God, that's so... Or the George Washington one? Washington.
Oh, yep.
Washington. Okay.
Those were the days when there was only like one viral video.
Yep.
Things were simpler. Anyway. We're seeing some other new mechanics happening, such as Awaken. Awaken.
Yes. This card I am very excited for.
Sheer Drop.
It's super cool.
Which is also a reference to poop. Anyway.
What? How? I don't want to know.
Because you...
2 and a white.
Okay.
For a sorcery. Destroy target tapped creature. It has Awaken 3 for 5 and a white. If you cast the spell for 5 and a white, also put 3 +1/+1 counters on target land you control, and it becomes a 0/0 elemental creature with haste. It's still a land.
So this is another way that I think it reminds me of Morph.
Mm-hmm.
Or it reminds me of Morph in that a card can do 2 things and can be beneficial to you in 2 different ways and can mean something different in the early game and still be relevant in the late game.
Yeah, or in that way, it's also a little bit like Megamorph, which if you needed to, you could play it face up early, or you could play it face down and for a bonus, flip it later and get those counters.
Right. Talk about Value Town. If you cast this for 6, destroy target tap creature and you get a 3/3 out of it.
And you get a 3/3 out of it.
That's awesome.
That's pretty baller, man.
It costs 6, which is a lot of mana, but we're talking about Eldrazi's here.
Exactly.
And Eldrazi's cost a lot of mana. So there's also the mechanic Landfall in this set returning. So I think we're going to have some help at casting some of these bigger dudes.
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely seems like there will be some interesting stuff going on with lands, which we know is kind of Zendikar's deal.
Yep.
It's all about lands. We're going to get those sweet full art lands, baby.
Yes. I'm going to buy so many.
That's it's going to be those times when it's like all of a sudden on Magic Online, you're going to be in a draft and like the land won't be the last pick.
Yeah.
It'll be with like whatever the shittiest card was.
Yep.
Will be the last pick because someone will be like, no, I'm not taking X. I'm going to take the sweet full art land.
You know what? I'm so excited because, that's never happened to us before because we didn't play an original Zendikar that we opened a pack and there was a full art land in it. Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I'm more excited to see the lands for this set than any card.
Oh, snap.
I don't know. I said
Eldrazi's.
That, but I think I might, that maybe is true.
Maria, but Eldrazi's.
Yeah, but no, Eldrazi's are awesome. I love them. And I've only ever played with like Emrakul or like Ulamog's Crusher from Modern Masters.
Yeah.
And I love them.
We also have another card, as Maria mentioned, that has Landfall. Retreat to Kazandu.
Xanadu?
Kazandu.
Kazanadu. Got it.
Yep. For 2 and a green, it's an enchantment that says Landfall. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, choose 1, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature, or you gain 2 life.
So
we do know that there's going to be Landfall.
This card seems good to me.
That's actually like an enchantment that you'd play. I think it's that 2 and a green casting cost that really makes it worthwhile because you'll get a couple of activations out of it. In a game, you'll probably at least get 2 to 3 more.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, you do have the thing that it's a delayed effect, but...
It is for a controlling deck, but...
Late in the game, it might be very, very meh, but...
But, I don't know. We'll see. I feel like game that sets that are designed to have you cast big, cool Eldrazi creatures with a lot of mana, that this card gets better.
Yeah. Yeah, it does definitely seem like that.
But, I mean, imagine this card plus which one here? Oblivion Sower, that puts any number of land cards exiled onto the battlefield.
Maria, that's so magical Christmas.
It's totally magical Christmas land.
But it would be so cool.
But it'd be pretty sweet.
Oh, man.
Here's another card that was spoiled. Veteran War Leader, 1GW for a Star-Star.
Star-Star.
I love Star-Star. Veteran War Leader's power and toughness are equal to the number of creatures you control. Okay. Cool. Straightforward. Tap another untapped ally you control. Veteran War Leader gains your choice of first strike, vigilance, or trample until end of turn. So allies are
allies. Oh, baby.
Allies. So it's going to be like, you know, World War II.
Yep.
They'll be the allies.
And the
Germans. Axis.
Or, you know, anyways.
Yeah, so that's all the cards that have been spoiled thus far as of the recording of this podcast. Keep your eyes peeled for some new ones that'll be coming your way.
Packs coming up.
Yeah, packs they're definitely going to spoil that packs.
There's always sweet stuff that comes out of packs. Maybe we'll get a Planeswalker.
I hope we do.
I whispered it because it's so exciting to think about.
What if it's an Eldrazi Planeswalker?
What? That can't be a thing.
Why not?
They would destroy all the planes.
But maybe they just want to hang out in one for a second.
Hey, I just want to... Hey, my name's Eldrazi Planeswalker. I just want to chill for a minute.
Okay.
Cool.
And like the -0 is chill for a minute.
-0, chill for a minute.
That would be cool. I don't know if we're normal, but we love Eldrazi.
Yeah.
That's so weird. Why do we love Eldrazi so much?
I don't know. They're way evil, man.
But they're so cool.
They want to destroy the multiverse.
But why?
Not just Zendikar, the multiverse.
Why, though?
Because they're evil.
That's not a real motivation.
They're just evil down to their core, man.
Oh, man. And I love that the fact that they have Spawn. I think that might have something to do with it. Spawn. If I ever had a child, I'd call it my Spawn. Hey, cats and kittens. Mark Rosewater's State of Design. Did you guys ever watch the State of the Union when our president gives a state of things that are happening in said union?
Okay, do you know what I remember? Like, the biggest thing that I remember from a State of the Union address ever was, like, during one of Barack Obama's first ones, he talked about how there were 70,000 structurally unsound bridges in the United States.
Yeah.
And, like, no one mentioned, like, no one ever brought that up again.
No,
like, and it was just like, you guys, was no one else's, like, number one takeaway the fact that there are 70,000 structurally unsound bridges? I want a State of the Bridges address.
I mean, fair play. And we live in Minnesota, so we don't have a great track record.
No.
That is terrifying. And I actually remember that State of the Union as well. And I remember the State of the Union where somebody was sitting behind the president and blinking a lot.
I don't remember.
And then
that.
Somebody went through and, like, counted all the blinks. Anyway.
So, you guys.
It's not broadcast, but Mark Rosewater writes a state of design every year. And we just got his most recent one.
Yeah, man.
Where he talks about the things that were great that happened in the past year, the things that were not so great, and what he hopes for the future.
Absolutely. So it's looking back, of course, at Khans of Tarkir, Fate Reforged, Dragons of Tarkir. Are what they're looking at here.
So you can find this article if you want to read along at dailymtg.com. And it's interesting, Megan and I want to talk about it because we don't sometimes often get super deep on game design. And it's really interesting to kind of get inside Wizard's head, before a new set comes out and kind of what they thought and how, you know, they listened to the players and how they're analyzing what decisions they made then now. So, the things that Mark was very happy about were clans. Clans.
Yeah, which I totally agree.
I mean,
they were talking
makes
about
sense.
Making sure that Khans of Tarkir, even though it was leading up to a dragon set, was still in and of itself very exciting. I think they totally nailed it. Like, I loved Khans of Tarkir.
Mm-hmm. It was great.
It was so much fun. The wedges were great. so many of the mechanics were great. Like, obviously, prowess, they just knocked it out of the park.
Yep.
So much so that that's, you know, that's coming back as evergreen. It just had, like, each of the clans had their own strong feel to them. Like, right, you could just be like, oh yeah, like, you know what a Mardu deck feels like and what it plays right. like, and you know what a Jeskai deck looks like and feels like and plays like.
And you can align yourself with them as well.
Totally.
So you as a player say, I'm a Mardu player, you know, and this is the same kind of thing that I think we saw when we played in Return to Ravnica.
Yeah,
which totally. Had the guilds, and that also seemed successful to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
To give you kind of an emotional connection to playing the game as well as just the enjoyment of playing it straight up.
Yeah. So that was a ton of fun. We totally agree. They also thought that Manifest was very successful.
I agree.
And again, it was just super cool. It was cool how it tied in with kind of being like an early morph or like a proto morph.
I like that it was originally called Recruit.
Oh yeah.
That's kind of cool. That makes sense too.
Yeah. I like Manifest personally.
I do as well because well, it's annoying not to know what those cards are.
Yes. On your opponent's well, sometimes board. It drives you insane and you're like, is that just a 2/2 or is that going to turn up and be a giant problem later?
Yep. Yeah.
Or is that
That's like, what I think about when I see small children too. Is that just a 2/2 or are you going to grow up and be a giant problem?
They always grow up to be a giant problem, Maria. Everyone has to be a teenager.
Yeah, that's true. I liked it, and I liked Morph as well, and we've talked about this before, because it kind of uses the game in a new way while not changing something fundamental about it.
Yeah, totally. It was super cool. So we had a great, again, we had a great time playing with it.
Sure did.
All
right, he was not so happy with, he says, we messed up with dragons, quote unquote.
Yeah, so... First of all, I said, don't make the set before the dragon set also be a dragon set.
Makes sense.
Makes sense, man. I do feel like the punch of Dragons of Tarkir was a little bit lessened because Fate Reforged also had dragons.
Yep.
It's like, oh, okay.
Oh, well, now there's more, well, more dragons? Okay.
Okay.
Dragons of Tarkir should have had a common dragon. I think Megan and I said that on the show. Yeah. A number of times, Mark Rosewater. I wanted baby dragons. Did I get them?
No. And I loved this quote. He said, if your theme isn't at common, it isn't your theme.
Yeah, that's very good.
And I agree. Like, that seems like totally correct.
Yeah.
How can you call it a theme if it's not permeating all of the levels of cards?
Yeah. So, I mean,
And that kind of falls into the dragons needing more variety.
Exactly.
They're all just big flying bodies, man. Big flying bodies. Do you remember our creator card vanilla dragon?
Yeah, I do. That's an old one.
4/4 for 6 that says the flavor text, the rules text, or the flavor text, both. This creature does not have flying.
Yeah, that's right.
Vanilla dragon.
I forgot that that's what it was.
That's
oh,
one of my
I
favorite
love
ones.
That one.
That's one of my favorite ones. So good. This creature does not have flying.
Mark was also disappointed with Megamorph, calling it a mega disappointment.
Oh, man. I think that that's a little rough. I feel like Megamorph had its totally had its uses.
It did. I mean, yeah. Like you mentioned, it gave you options throughout the game. Mm-hmm. It helped with mana problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it did.
I mean, to be fair, one of the critiques that he raises was that it wasn't novel enough. And, like, I totally do get that. I get people being disappointed because it's like, you literally just took Morph and were like, put a +1/+1 counter also. I'm like, okay.
And the name sucked, as he says. And that is true.
Well, there you go. There you
the
go.
Name sounded silly. I remember hearing it for the first time and I was like, gugh.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a little bit like, oh, that seemed like an early name that they like meant to go back and change, but they didn't.
But there's like a...
What should we call it for now? I'll just call it Megamorph and we'll figure out something later. And then they sent it off and they were like, hey, what did we rename Megamorph? And they're like, oh, shit, we didn't.
Yeah. So looking forward, he wants to prove we can handle the volume without excess complexity because we're going to be moving to a 2-block structure.
Yeah.
So that means more sets coming down the pipe, and that's going to be a lot more intricate
sets. Yes. They're not going to have a core set to take a chill pill for a minute.
Nope.
And you know, just rehash some old mechanics.
And you know, there's some speculation that once we get into these 2-block sets, that there's going to be more innovation because they're going to have to creating more frequently. I'm like, oh, what do we do different this time? So I'm like, oh, might it happen that we get one that's just like really too weird and crazy? Yeah, maybe we will. And you know what? I'm fine with that. Like, let's experiment a little bit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel. I feel like the two block structure is like college. Like, let's just get into some weird stuff.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I do also want to mention, he also said that he felt like they left Tarkir in the wrong state.
Yeah.
This kind of goes back to what they were talking about, whereas, like, they had taken Sarkhan Vol's storyline, and obviously with his storyline, he was obsessed with dragons, but there weren't any on his home plane. So they couldn't start with a dragon world and move to a clan world. They had to start with clans and move to dragons, but they did feel like the clans were so exciting that honestly, like, they made Tarkir a slightly less exciting world. Which, I don't know how, like, maybe there's some super dragon lovers out there, but I do kind of agree, like, the dynamics in the dragons' Tarkir wasn't as interesting as those crazy clan dynamics in Khans of Tarkir. So that's really interesting from, like, both a design and from a story perspective.
I mean, I love dragons. Like, I wear a dragon necklace almost every day of my life. So I can attest to my love of dragons, and I still think that the clans were more engaging.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just because you can relate to them. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, and they just did such a great job.
Yeah, they did. They did.
And I feel like there's more, like, right, in Dragons of Tarkir, it's like, who's the boss on Tarkir? The dragons.
Yeah.
Duh. There's dragons. Duh, of course, the dragons are boss. There's lots of big daddy dragons, big mom dragons who are all like, we're in charge.
No baby dragons. Just saying.
Maria, they arrive.
We're born out of a storm. I get it.
Fully formed. Okay. But when there's just like people and there's different clans all struggling, it's not as clear who's on top. It's not as clear who's in charge. They're all just fighting one another.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Constant struggle is
battling.
You know, they say when you're acting, it's better to hold back your tears than it is to cry.
It's just like in any good post-apocalyptic story.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting struggle isn't people against the environment or people against zombies. It's actually people against the terrible people who are doing terrible shit now that there is no societal construct to stop them.
Or people against, you know, themselves, like, look in the mirror. That's your real enemy.
Totally.
That's deep.
All right. You guys, one of our favorite new friends. It's called Robo Rosewater.
Oh, he's my best new friend.
He has a Twitter account. It's real great. It's people who used a neural network, which is a computer that learns through processing tons and tons of different data, basically building neural pathways through processing all this data and feedback and stuff like that. It's way more complex computer science than I could ever possibly understand.
I think you've got it down,
without a PhD, I'm sure. That's essentially it. So people started basically teaching this neural network to create magic cards by feeding it tons of example magic cards. And this computer's still churning out magic cards. And they're
so good.
They're so good, you guys. So okay. Periodically, we like to check in with what our friend Robo is doing.
Megan, let me read you this one, which I had not seen till this very moment.
Please do.
Three colorless to cast Shumble of Cardigan.
Shumble. It's so good.
It's an artifact, obviously. It's colorless. Great job, computer. Three, tap. Shumble of Cardigan deals one damage to target player.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's just an artifact.
Three
tap, deals one to a player.
I mean,
would you play this?
Probably not. But if you had like the
grindiest grind deck,
control deck of all flipping time,
yeah,
then maybe
Shumble.
Let's see. I love this one today.
Oh, the one today is great.
The Cross of Griffin. I love how it sounds like a German person saying the cross. The cross of Griffin. Two and a black for a creature merfolk wizard.
Ooh, black merfolk. Okay.
Yeah. One and a white tap. The cross of Griffin gains haste.
Worthless!
So, just I'm feeling like that's just like rubbing it in.
Yeah,
it it's is. Really just rubbing it in. And cumulative upkeep 3.
Garbage.
It's for a 2-2. It's also a 2-2. This is just a really, really awful card.
On the other hand, I have a good card here.
Well, let's hear it.
It's called Giant Lloyd. Yes. Can't pronounce it.
I love Giant Lloyd.
It is a land. Okay, tap, add blue to your mana pool. Black, black, tap. Giant Lloyd deals 5 damage to target player.
My god, this card is just insane.
So, first of all, it gives you mana. Second of all, you just need 2 swamps and you kill them.
Like, so quickly.
Yep.
So quickly.
In 4 turns. So, seems good to me. Seems good. OP.
Yeah, totally. Gargalion, 4 and a green for a sorcery. Exile target creature that's a wall or blue spell. If Gargalion is an instant or sorcery spell, you may return Gargalion to its owner's hand. It is, in fact, a sorcery.
Yes.
But if it's an instant or sorcery, you can return it.
You know, just if.
If.
What about this one, Megan? The Weatherseer Maggot. It's yes. 2 colorless. Yes. Artifact. Contraption. In seat. I don't know what that means.
What?
But it's a contraption. There's only 1 other contraption.
That's right. There
in
is
future
only
sight.
One other contraption.
Put a +1/+1 counter on target creature. Activate this ability only during your turn before attackers are declared. Very important.
Yes.
When there are fewer drawn abilities, draw a card. What? Creatures without flying don't untap during its controller's untap step.
Who even knows what that means?
I don't know.
Who is it? What's it?
I don't know when there are fewer drawn abilities.
When there are fewer drawn abilities.
I don't know what that means either.
Oh, man. I mean, it's just, it's so priceless.
Yeah, I love it so much. Every single one of these I love.
Yeah, there's really none so far that I think we have not. I'm still trying to find, did we...
There's Callow of Wast, which is pretty good. Yeah. 1 white creature, rabbit, druid warrior.
A rabbit?
No, rabat with an A. It's a 2/1.
Uh-huh.
Flying for 1 white. Yeah. Discard a card. Target player may pay green or white hybrid mana. Just, you know.
They just may.
Yep.
They may if they want to.
You okay. May cast the spell for its dash back cost, then exile it.
Dashback?
No, no idea what its dashback cost is.
But you may cast it for it.
Yep.
Okay, here's my personal favorite, though.
Okay.
Barret Crixus. 2 and a green for a sorcery. Counter target spell that can't be the target of spells or abilities. Just the most fucking useless card.
Garbage.
Ever. Sorcery. Oh. It's a sorcery, so you can't play it when other things are on the stack. 2. It can only target things that can't be targeted.
Yep.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
It is so good.
It's so good. So if you want to follow that, yep. It's at Robo, like R-O-B-O, Rosewater. Well, friends and enemies.
Yep, we don't want to leave anyone out.
No, we really don't. Or people who are just like, meh.
Like they could go either way.
Yeah.
They're neither on the bride nor the groom's side on
exactly.
This wedding.
They haven't made up their mind yet.
Okay.
Maybe.
All of you people, thanks for listening.
Yeah. It's been a great week.
It's been real.
It's been real.
That's what my parents always used to be. It's been real. I'm like, I guess. Like,
sure, parents.
It hasn't been fake. What a dad thing to say. Anyway, if you want to listen to more of our voices in your face pits, go right ahead. You can follow, you can subscribe on iTunes, follow us on Stitcher, we're on mtgcast.com, as well as themeatery.org, which posts our episode on YouTube every week if you want to catch it there. You can find all of our back episodes on magicthemturing.com. Come and support us on Patreon at patreon.com/mtacast. We have some new rewards up there for you guys, including bracelets, Magic the Amateuring bracelets, like silicone mm-hmm. wristbands, which you could previously only obtain by meeting Megan or I in person.
Yes. So that is a challenge for you. We will be at Grand Prix Madison.
Yes, we will.
So find us there if you're going to be there.
Find us there, or you can support us on Patreon. It's at the $2 level. You get a bracelet, and you can tell people you met us. Because it'll be like the same thing.
It comes with a slip of paper that says you may lie and say you met Megan Moreno.
Yeah, it has a certificate. Yeah, but they're really cool. Actually, these ones nobody has yet. We have some brand new ones that are a different color. So, yeah, man, get to that Patreon store, am I right?
Snap, yes.
I mean, support. Support us on Patreon. It'll be awesome. You'll be part of a cool kids club. You'll sit at the cool kids table at Thanksgiving like we talked about on a past episode. Mm-hmm. Yes. Follow us on Twitter at MTAcast and let us know about your bowel movements. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTAcast.
Sure, if you're going to tweet us about your bowel movements, put to Maria at the beginning of it so I don't read it.
Megan will just
scroll by those ones.
Bye-bye.
Peace out.
See us online. I'm horny_unicorny and Moto.
I am Ice Cream Socialist.
Yeah, the Community Cup is coming up in a couple of weeks for Megan and I, so... get hyped about that.
Yeah, make sure that you're you schedule some time to watch it. Mm-hmm. Check it out. We're super excited. And we would love to have you guys watching and supporting, because we are so thrilled, and it's all because of you guys. Yep. and all of your wonderful support, and we do it all for you guys.
That's right. If we did it for ourselves, we would not put this on the internet.
No.
Nor would we probably be saying it into microphones. We'd just be like...
No, we would just be like talking. It would just be us talking about magic with each other.
So thanks for allowing us to come into your aforementioned face pits, auditory face pits, and let us, you know, chat you up. See you guys here back here next week. Remember to send us gifts.
Bye. GIFs?
GIFs.
G-I-F-S.
G-I-F-S or GIFs with a T.
Oh, okay,
I'll accept either.
Yeah.